good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cotton Cuff, Hidney Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Robert, it looks like you're on mute. I just wanted to let you know that, because welcome back from D.C.
Oh, you can't hear me, huh?
Oh, no, now I can hear you. Now I can hear you.
That's weird. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to, for the fourth time now, I'm going to say Native Roots Radio here on Civic Media Network. I just got back from Washington, D.C. With the ICWA going on. It was a great show yesterday. That'll probably be the best of show. And we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we talk about news and events, and we try to lead off every day with news that you don't hear anywhere else and with a Native twist to it. And that's what we're going to do right now with Ogama, with the news and the news you don't hear anywhere else. Thank you, Ogama.
Anim Buju, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe. I'm a member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and some news and information today. The first thing I want to cover is that this weekend, actually tomorrow on Veterans Day, Friday, November 11th from 6 to 8 p.m., you can join St. Paul Public Schools American Indian Education Program and the Interfaith Action Network's Department of Indian Work at Humboldt High School on Baker Street East in St. Paul, and they are doing a $50 gift card incentive for Pfizer and bivalent booster shots, free flu shots, and children age 11 must be accompanied by adults. They're having a powwow. Sorry, I don't know if I said that, Robert. There's a powwow at Humboldt High School Friday, November 11th from 6 to 8 p.m. Wow. In the Twin Cities in St. Paul. It's a drug and alcohol-free event, so just remember that to keep those things away from the event, and security will be present to help keep everybody safe. So that is coming up here this weekend. Also, I wanted to touch base. Robert, you were down in you were out in Washington, D.C. this week.
Yeah.
And you were there yesterday for the ICWA case, as it's being called. It's Hallen versus Brackeen. Mm-hmm. And it's currently hearing whether or not the information from the rules that come with the American Indian Child Welfare Act, or ICWA, are considered unconstitutional on the base of race. However, most of us know that it probably isn't. But the other cool thing that you got to see while you were there, Robert, was this the new Indigenous Veterans Memorial that's there.
Yeah, I did. Very impressive. Kind of ran into it accidentally because I wanted to go stop at the museum before I flew back. And I had no idea that it was almost on the grounds of the Smithsonian Institute Museum in Washington, D.C. So it was really kind of awesome. And what was really awesome to see all the Native veterans out there. And tomorrow they're having a parade. And hopefully the weather will hold out for them. I hear it might be a little sprinkly. But also the hotel I was in, it was mostly veterans. So for Veterans Day also. So we don't really talk about this a lot, but we always have to talk about the veterans and how per capita there are more Native American veterans than any other race out there. So, yeah, Ogama, it's beautiful and well-deserved.
Absolutely. Yeah, this event and the honoring procession and ceremony are going to be live streamed. Like Robert said, that's happening tomorrow from the Smithsonian honoring exceptional military service of Native Americans and Alaska Natives and Hawaiian Natives and veterans and their families. So I believe it's a 2-day dedication, and they're also having musical artists, a presentation of color by Native American women warriors, hands-on activities, films, and a veterans hospitality suite is happening there. They're also going to be showing two feature films and a program of short works. They're having the Navajo Code Talkers documentary. That is really good. And they're also having the People's Protectors, which is another documentary about four Native American veterans reflecting on their experiences in the Vietnam War. And then they've also got short films, including one called Cree Code Talkers, A History of Service, and Kai Hoyle, which means the return. So really some wonderful programs that are going to be happening there. And again, the ceremony is going to be live streamed from the Smithsonian, Washington, D.C. Tomorrow and the next day, I believe.
I like the way you said Kaiaheo. That was good. Yeah, well deserved. Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. Other news we have going on, author Louise Erdrich has won a Beresford Prize for her work. This was a special from ICT. She's already won a Pulitzer Prize, but now she's won the prestigious Beresford Prize, but not for her writing. It's for her contribution to the advancement and care of other artists in society. Louise Erdrich is a Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa and has been awarded the $50,000 prize from the nonprofit United States Artist for operating Birchbark Books and Native Arts in the Twin Cities. She opened the store in 2001, and it also serves as a gathering place for Indigenous literary and arts community in Minneapolis. So congratulations and chi-miigwech to you, Louise, for all of your work and your writing. That is so exciting that somebody has won that prize locally here, and it's also national news because Louise Erdrich is a wonderful, wonderful writer. Robert, have you ever had a chance to meet with her?
No. Well, yes, just to say hi, but I've been at her bookstore many times, and it's a place to behold. It's kind of out in its own neighborhood, nice old neighborhood in Minneapolis, and it's the only place there, so it's almost a place to go. So it isn't like, you know, other stores. It's right by itself. And she lives in a big mansion right next to it, too, so it's kind of interesting.
That is interesting. I guess I didn't know that, but I don't live down in the Twin Cities, so I don't get know some of these local things. Not yet. Yeah, Robert always says, not yet. I'm going to end up down there at some point. This awesome article also came out from Grist, and it says that the world's healthiest forests are on Indigenous land. There was a new report that came out that says that Indigenous land rights are key to preserving biodiversity, and this article came out from Current Biology Open Access website. And they say the healthiest, most biodiverse, and most resilient forests are all located on protected Indigenous lands. And obviously that suggests what we talk about a lot here on Native Roots Radio, that protecting Indigenous rights and human rights is not only compatible with climate conservation goals, but a key to future conservation goals and efforts to protect the planet, protect humanity. Many years of research have proven that Indigenous people are, in fact, the world's best land stewards, and definitely are a crucial part in protecting Mother Earth from the onslaught of oil and gas and deforestation and other extractive industries that cause massive harm. Indigenous land contains about 80% of the world's remaining biodiversity, and nearly a quarter of that is managed by Native people or Indigenous people as well. 47% of threatened mammals live on and are protected by indigenous land and management. So when indigenous peoples are given the legal and financial support for land management, the results truly benefit the world. So thank you to Joseph Lee at Grist for this beautiful article. It's also been reposted on ICT, I believe. But I don't really have time to read the full article, but that's kind of the cliff notes. And I want everybody to know that these types of things are really important, and they're definitely related to ICWA, which we're going to talk about a little bit next with Robert Lilligan. Right, Robert?
That's right. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back with Robert Lilligan. Stay with us.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MNsure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MNsure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MNsure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNsure.org. MNsure.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, everyone. This portion of the show is brought to you by MNsure. MNsure has affordable plans that fit your budget, and you can find them at MNsure.org. MNsure helped me find a plan that worked for me, and they helped me save money. And did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MNsure? And they have free experts that can help you sign up for coverage. So go to MNsure. That's MNsure.org to get started and get covered today.
Yeah, a great new sponsor of Native Roots Radio. We appreciate really appreciate that. And not only do we appreciate that, we appreciate Robert Lilligren stopping in. Robert is the CEO of Native American Community Development Institute, and boy, we just have a good time shooting you know what, and I haven't talked to you in a while, so it's great to see you, Robert.
It has been a while. Good to see you, Robert. How are things going?
I'm so tired. I just got back in from D.C., and I saw one of your employees.
She texted me from the plane. Yeah. We're on the same flight.
Yeah. All those Indians being low-key.
Yeah. It must have been fascinating to be out in D.C., huh?
Yeah, it always is, and this was a little more different, and intense. And yesterday we had Patrice Kanush on the show, and she was there inside the courtroom for ICWA, and she just did a great segment yesterday on the show from Washington, D.C., as I was. It's frightening. Mm-hmm. It's not, this battle's not over. It sounds like it's just begun, and You know, it's more about it's definitely more than about adoption and the right. people that are the dirty money that's supporting this, the oil companies that are supporting these lawyers and this lawsuit, sort of not lawsuit but Supreme Court case. I'm sorry, is kind of frightening.
Agree. And it's an attack on sovereignty, right? On fundamental exactly. sovereignty. And, you know, this is one big support pulled out, or an attempt to pull out one support, and then a lot more would fall after this.
So it's interesting that, go ahead, Robert.
Well, I was just going to say, even taking aside the impact on families, on Native children, for sure. I mean, that's egregious enough. But then when you really look at it in the context of a broader attack on Native sovereignty, it's a huge case.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's where it's at. But it's also huge because of all the tentacles that come off this with the people supporting mm-hmm. it. You know, it's interesting, too, because it's been I did you ever see or listen to that docudrama of Finding Cleo? I don't know if I've ever talked to you about
that. I have not. I meant to. No, you've mentioned it before, and I meant to, so I will.
About the 60s scoop, and I mean, we were youngsters in the 60s, so we know, especially with a lot of people coming back, like myself, from the – I know in Canada it was called the 60s scoop, but I know a lot of our kids were adopted out, including me. And a lot of them haven't made it back, and it's mm-hmm. a frightening thing, and people feel lost. And I know until I found my birth mother, I didn't really feel connected or be able to say I was connected in any way.
Wow, powerful story, Robert. Very powerful.
Right. So that's what I was doing out there, and the positive thing is, I don't know if you heard a little bit of Ogama's story, is that they have this really nice memorial for Native American veterans that they're going to be. Ogama's got her little baby there.
Lovely. Bonjour.
Yeah, so a beautiful nice. Memorial out there at the Smithsonian Museum of Native Americans out in Washington, D.C.
Very cool. When's that going to be unveiled?
Tomorrow.
Nice.
Oh, another Ho-Chunk nice. Legislator, Conroy, is out there. He's a vet, and I hung out with him a little bit, and that was a good time before I came back. So, Robert, let's talk here. The red tsunami did not happen to us, and I didn't think it was good. And that's I know we're all over Wisconsin, and we pray for Wisconsin. Thank goodness the governor has been reelected, so he can block mm-hmm. out a lot of this bad stuff that they're trying to do there. And I feel really bad that Ron Johnson's back.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised at that. I was watching that race pretty close, and early on, it was a little more neck and neck. You know, as the votes were counted, you could see which direction it was going. I was kind of surprised, especially with Evers winning at the top of the ticket. I thought, you know, maybe there'd be that momentum to pull others with them. It could have been a lot worse. I don't know how late you were up on Tuesday night. I was up till probably about 2 a.m. before I had to finally just turn off the TV, turn off the device and go to bed, but I was just glued to the results.
Yeah, always. I had to fly out early in D.C., but I did make it down to the Intercontinental for the celebration down there.
And party? Yeah, how was that?
That was cool, running into a lot of people, and then the politicians speaking, and then also, right then and there, AP called it pretty early for the governor and lieutenant governor, They were waiting for what's his name to concede. I don't even think he still conceded.
Jensen? No, he did.
Okay. Yeah. That's how rumors start.
It's kind of a bitter concession, but it's a concession. And then, so folks who are listening, maybe in other communities, know the Intercontinental Hotel, where our Democratic Party, it's called the Democratic Farmer Labor, or the DFL Party, holds a lot of their events, is Native owned. It's owned by the Mille Lacs Band, and so. And it's a good union hotel, too. So, good place to be. And then on election night, I had probably, I don't even know how many tabs open on my laptop, you know, and I just kind of keep scrolling through and refreshing, especially on a lot of the state races and local races. And just keep refreshing. And then as one would get called, then I could close that tab and then close that tab. Until at the end, I just had two tabs open. One was for our state auditor, who ended up prevailing.
Yeah.
And one was for our attorney general.
Oh.
Ellison had a very close, too close.
Right. Well, it was close last time, and I think I just wanted to back up, too, what you were saying about Evers not pulling in a lot more votes. I think our governor, what was it, 8 points or 9 points that they won by? It brought a lot of people with them.
Right. And that's kind of what I was hoping, was that for people like Keith Ellison, our state attorney general, that the momentum would kind of buoy everyone up. And that's what happened, right? That's, it did. And Democrats swept all of our statewide constitutional offices again.
Yes.
So it's interesting to see. We had a very competitive race in a congressional district here between an Democrat incumbent and a challenger, and that was pretty close. That was closer than it should have been, but that seat held, and so we have a Democratic and we have the trifecta, right? We have a Democratic governor, Democratic Senate, and Democratic House for the first time in a while.
I was going to say,
stuff done.
Yeah, I was going to say, how long has it been since the trifecta was happening? Do you know?
You know, it's flipped back and forth a couple times over the last maybe 15 years, so it happens fairly often, but with 2 year representative terms, it can flip right back again. You know? So that's, we kind of go back and forth. But man, when you have the three trifecta, it's time to do stuff. And I think our elected representatives are ready to move. First,
you know,
and foremost, on protecting reproductive rights.
Yeah. And you know, I was a big supporter of our last sheriff. What do you think of the new one?
You know, I don't know her. I've met her briefly. I'm really excited. I was a quiet supporter of hers. And now, you know, I know she's come out to the Native community a few times and will continue to build those relationships. She's the first woman sheriff in Hennepin County. Hennepin County in Minnesota is the largest county. We're a third of the population, a third of the wealth. The revenue generated as well. And so was a really heinous Republican sheriff for a number of years who was just brutal to the Native community. Then we got Dave Hutchinson, and Native people were a key part of helping him get elected. And then he just had some trouble, right? He did some bad things. So so the new sheriff, first woman, first Black sheriff, it's historic.
Yeah, wow, great point to bring it up. That's exciting, and I know backing up to what you said about the sheriff prior to Hutch, he sent troops down to Standing Rock. I mean, that was just part of his evilness that he's done towards the Native community over the years, but that broke the straw. It was like we were right in the midst of Standing Rock.
Yeah, that was bad. He was Rick Stanek's his name. He's a former Republican state legislature, and he as sheriff, like you said, he sent uniformed Hennepin County sheriffs up to Standing Rock. That was hideous. And then when the community tried to hold him accountable for that, he got just rude and bitter. He was rude to Native leadership. He was rude to then State Representative Susan Allen, was disrespectful. I mean, he wasn't even trying. So anything's an improvement over that. So I'm looking forward to building relationships with our new sheriff.
Cool. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. And you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm here with Robert Lilligren and Ogama. And we'll be right back after this short message break. Stay with us. Ho-wah.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, this is Robert Pilot here telling you about Minnesota Native American art. Did you know that Twin Cities is known for Native art? Well, if you're not familiar, then check out All My Relations Arts. It's a program that seeks to increase the visibility and value of these incredibly talented American Indian artists in all forms of art while honoring the history and the presence of indigenous cultures. And right now, All My Relations Arts is showcasing Rosie Seamus Dance, She Who Lives on the Road to War. This is an immersive installation dance performance created by Rosie Seamus in response to global loss and the collective need to come together in peace and reconciliation. She Who Lives on the Road to War is a place for visitors to rest, grieve, console, and meditate. Performances will take place through mid-December. Find the performance schedule at allmyrelationsarts.com. I love all the indigenous art here in the Twin Cities, and I hope you can enjoy it too. allmyrelationsarts.com.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MinSure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MinSure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MinSure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNSure.org. MNSure.org.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Hello, Minneapolis. Make sense. Make progress. Make a date. Make an appointment with me. Weeknights from 10 to midnight here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call because we don't like to see anyone in pain. And we'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
Chambliot Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChambliotFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies tonight with a low around 25, Friday cloudy with a high near 32, and Saturday partly sunny with a high near 31.
Black Friday starts early at Warner Selling Appliance with deals you can't find anywhere else, like free dishwasher installation on brands like KitchenAid, an exclusive 5% savings plus a Black Friday bonus of up to $800 on packages from select brands. Shop now at WarnerCellion.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, everybody. This is Ogama Ganuakwe, and I just want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Development Institute and All My Relations Arts, which is a project of NACTI.
And there are limited performances available for their new installation, which is a dance performance by Rosie Sema's Dance. It's called She Who Lives on the Road to War. Performances started October 6th, but they only run until December 15th. So limited in-person performances are available. Opening reception and the performances run at 7 p.m. or 6 p.m., depending on the day. But the next one that's available is this Saturday, November 12th at 6 p.m. And it's at All My Relations Art on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. So make sure you go over to All My Relations Arts and catch Rosie Sema's She Who Lives on the Road to War.
Hey, Pini Gigi Ogama. Hey, I'm here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of at the Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. And we're just doing what we normally do is talk a little politics and talk a little – I talk a little crap, and then Robert corrects me. And then we call it a day. But want to swing over and talk a little national politics again, and no blue tsunami or a red tsunami there.
Not at all. And I wasn't that surprised. I actually thought there'd be a little more action on the blue side and that we'd pick up a little more, but it wasn't at least a red wave, a red tsunami. I think that it really says a lot about what's going on in the national political scene. Young people registered and voted. 18 to 29-year-old voters voted two-thirds for Democrats. It was the highest Democratic vote of any age group. Yeah. So thank you, young people, for being involved, for being aware, for educating yourself on the issues, and for standing in line and for voting. I suspect, and I haven't seen a gender breakdown, but I suspect a lot of that is young women. Leading up to the election, women in that age group were one of the highest newly registered voter demographics. And so it's encouraging that it looks like the future is in pretty good hands.
Can you help me explain to me, okay, we're going to have some elections are being recounted or counted again. So we're at 48-48 in the Senate. And then it looks like the Republicans have an advantage, but not all the votes are counted. So where are we at?
It's hard to call an advantage. I mean, there's states like Nevada, like Arizona that are still counting. Some of them are maybe a little pale blue, but some are a little pale red, but it's too close to call really right now. And so, yeah, you're right. It's 48-48. And Democrats
189-209. I think I got 109-209 right now.
And that is incredibly close. I mean, that's much close. Everyone expected there to be a 20-30-40 seat pickup on the red side, and it wasn't anywhere near that. And so that's encouraging as well, and somewhat encouraging. And even if the Republicans do take the House, which seems likely, the majority is going to be so slim that the majority leader, McCarthy, apparently, although there's a lot of grumbling right now about who's going to be majority leader, is not going to be able to manage that Republican caucus. He's got too much division. He won't have a clear mandate. So they're going to be in a world of hurt, even if they get a small majority in the House.
Will any crossover when there's some sort of like blue bill out there, or we can't bring up bills because we don't have the majority? Is that how it works? I don't know how.
Yeah,
it works.
Yeah, it does. So the majority will control the agenda, will control the votes. But I suspect that if the majority is as lean as it looks like it is going to be, that you will see some of that crossover. I think, especially here in Minnesota, where we flipped our state House from Republican to Democrat, our state Senate from Republican to Democrat. Our House was already Democrat. Our governor's a Democrat. But I think the message is people want stuff to get done. They're tired of deadlock. They're tired of polarization. And so I think those politicians who are, and those elected officials who are willing to cross over to get stuff done, I think are going to be rewarded.
You know, just before we got on, again, I flew in flew in just recently and took a little power nap before the show. But I heard on the news that I'm trying to look this up. The stock market went crazy today.
Did you? It went, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was very positive on the stock market. And although I listened to a couple of reports about it, neither of them referenced the election results as a reason, but I can't imagine what else has happened, you know? And so I think that says something about the business world. And we always think of it being so pro-Republican. I think people want continuity. They want stability. This is almost unprecedented showing of a sitting president's party in the opposition in midterms. It's almost always a wave against the sitting president. And the last time it was this stable was in 2002, which was right after 9/11, of course.
Right.
And I think voters and Americans were just looking for stability, continuity. You know, but this rarely happens.
Right. And I think some of the signposts, too, showed that the GPA grew as opposed to they were by a couple points, which really excites them that they won't have to raise the interest rates again. So I think the stock market went crazy on that. But
there might be a little bump in interest rates, but seriously, it was good news for the economy. And I think it's really interesting that the Republican message leading up to the election really shifted to those, you know, pocketbook issues or those kind of bread and butter issues, inflation, crime. And what people were really more concerned about, especially these young people who got out and voted in this unprecedented way, were things like protecting individual rights, protecting reproductive freedom, protecting our democracy. And I think Republicans thought that the electorate, the voters, were going to be a little too esoteric or to motivate voters. And they were wrong. They were wrong.
Yeah.
So
big
the
time.
Exit polls are showing. Yeah, big time. Thank goodness.
And I feel like, and maybe you can help me with this, because you've been in the game so much longer than me and I've been real peripheral, is I don't know when the polls are right anymore.
Right. Well, I agree. You know, we've been burned. 2016, you know, really burned. And right. I think pollsters even admit now that they don't really know. But in an election cycle like this, where so many people are first-time voters or newly registered voters, they're not getting captured in any of this polling. And so that's a huge variable. I mean, you could see things like how many young people were registering. Now, you know, how many young women were registering. That was unprecedented. But you weren't capturing those people in polls, because those are based on likely voters who have at least some established voting record.
Yeah, you know, and that's what we've been saying for a couple of weeks, especially the up and down polls, you know, people hating on the president, and it's just, I don't know if it's their PR or not, but I really feel like, and I know we've talked a little bit about this, but the president has done more in these 2 years than anyone that I can think of in my lifetime, maybe JFK.
Right. But he has accomplished a lot, especially a lot of good foundational, fundamental things, economic benefits for American people, and steered us, you know, through that last part of the pandemic. But the things like, and people, I think, are smart enough and sophisticated enough to know, yes, gas prices are high. Yes, inflation is hurting. And that's temporary, right? Those things can be addressed and will be. But if you lose the democracy, control of your democracy, if you ensconce permanent minority rule within our government, those things can't be changed. And I think people are smarter than a lot of politicians are giving them credit for. You know, there's this conventional wisdom that you can't win an election with newly registered voters, that you have to just focus on those people who you know are going to get to the polls. And that gets disproven periodically, at this last cycle for sure. I think of it as the Jesse Ventura effect.
Right? Yeah.
18 to 30-year-old men who had never voted before elected Jesse Ventura governor of the state. So this conventional wisdom needs to kind of fall to the sides. And I think we'll see a new approach. These young people that are voting, I think of them as a new electorate, right? Ever since 2008, and voters that Obama activated, and so many of them stayed involved. That's what I think we're forming the new electorate, and And I think that's a good thing.
That is. And Jesse, just to let everyone or remind everyone, I think he won by 27.6% as governor because it was three people running. Something
right,
like that.
Right, it's a plurality victory.
Yeah.
Which it often is with our governors. I mean, it's good to see our current governor take a full, take a majority victory. We often have plurality victory winners here in Minnesota because we often have three, at least three parties represented.
Well, I heard, too, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I also heard that, you know, the Republicans pretty much are a level number, except maybe when Trump's first election, but are a level number. It's the Democrats who take time off and need to come in and, you know, beat people by a higher margin. Have you heard that? Or, again, am I making stuff up?
I have not, but it just makes sense looking at the demographics of the party. You know, one is growing, one is shrinking. One represents a majority of people in this country, the Democrats, one a minority that's committed to permanent minority rule. And, you know, I've shared this on with you before, but, you know, I think it's really something. You know, we have our Vice President Kamala Harris. She's the tiebreaker in the Senate, and she's done it a lot. I mean, we owe her a lot for what she's been able to do. And I read once when Vice President Harris votes, she is representing 50 million more people than the Republicans in their votes. And so that, you know, that's numbers. That's what elections in a representative democracy like ours should be based on. And so I think we're seeing that more with this last election. I kind of feel like we're putting it back in a box a little or something. Maybe yeah. It won't be quite so vicious.
Hey, Robert, you got time for another segment?
Sure.
All right, cool. Hey, Native Roots Radio, we'll be back with Robert Lilligren. You're listening to The Indian Show. Ahoo!
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
As we head towards colder weather, it's important to make sure you're up to date on vaccinations and protected from COVID-19. The Native American Community Clinic is now administering the updated Pfizer bivalent booster. The updated bivalent booster helps protect against the original COVID-19 strain and against newer Omicron variants. And it will help restore protection that has decreased since previous vaccinations. People age 5 and older are now recommended to get an updated bivalent booster dose at least 2 months after their last COVID-19 shot. That means the bivalent booster may be given after a person's primary series or after their last booster shot, regardless of what brand you received before. Even if you've already had COVID-19, you should get vaccinated. Right now, at the Native American Community Clinic, you can get COVID-19 vaccines, including updated boosters, at the same visit as other vaccines. However, if you've received a recent monkeypox vaccine, you may need to wait 4 weeks before you can get a COVID-19 vaccine, and you should discuss this with your provider. Schedule your vaccination appointment with the Native American Community Clinic by calling 612-872-8086.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, all my indigenous creatures out there. This portion of the show was brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh! Good ad lib there, Ogama. Ho. Hey, we're with Robert Lilligren here, the CEO of NADCI, and Native American Community Development Institute in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And, you know, Wendy always reminds me, especially when we have regulars like you or Dr. Stately, or is to say, what would you like to talk about, Robert? So what would you like to
talk about? I enjoy anything, yeah, that we talk about. You know, I've been so obsessed with the elections and the election results and the recounts and the runoffs and things like that. So we've done quite a bit of that. I would like to kind of lift up some of the things that happened on Election Day down here in the cities. And at Native American Community Development Institute, we have our Make Voting a Tradition Project, MBAT, we call it. You've been around that a lot, Robert, I know. And it was just amazing, this election cycle, the energy around voting. We have this cadre of really skilled and trained organizers and canvassers. They had a great get-out-the-vote operation. I don't know if you saw it in person. We have this huge electronic billboard in our parking lot. Did you get a chance?
No, I wanted to go down there because I saw Jolene posted, and I'm going, what? And then they're giving out free T-shirts? I got to get there, but I had to.
Yeah, the T-shirts, and then, you know, we had our MBAT poster. Organizers. What's that?
Oh, yeah, I got the poster.
Yeah. I love it. And they were getting people to the polls. They just set their table out right there in the parking lot in front of the huge sign. And it drew all kinds of attention. A lot of Native folks, some non-Native folks who, you know, we helped identify their polling places. We were able to provide rides to the polls, get people. We have same-day registration here in Minnesota, so get people registered. We have what's called a voucher system or a vouching system, where if someone lives in the same precinct and knows a person, they can vouch for that person's identity and address, so that person doesn't even need an ID. And so we were doing a lot of that. It was just this great and very positive vibe. And one of our MBAT canvassers, a leader really within the project, a resident of Little Earth of the United Tribes here, was telling us this story about taking elders to vote. There was a lot of giving elders rides to the polls. Of course, we had to wait till bingo ended at Little Earth because we weren't going to drag the elders away from their bingo. But she was telling the story of these elders that were talking about how challenging it was for them to vote when they were younger and the barriers they faced. And that's why they voted all the time. And they voted for their relatives and ancestors who couldn't vote before them. And she's kind of, you know, she's a pretty tough woman, was telling the story. And she started to weep while she was telling us the story of that. The elders were sharing with her. And so it was just really a beautiful, beautiful day. We had WCCO-TV, a major news station here. It's a CBS affiliate in Minneapolis, coming to a story on the work. And it was a happening. It was felt like community. We had community. You know, it felt like community. We had these random non-Native people, this couple who stopped by, volunteered, put on their Make Voting a Tradition shirt, and they were giving rides to the polls all day long, just out of the blue. It was a cool feeling.
I feel like you guys should get one of those big three-season tents out there for the parking lot and make this. It's just been so fun for me for the years just swinging by, and especially on Thursdays. Now it's getting colder to just come down and see people on the avenue.
Yeah, no more Thursday farmers market for now, but there's still a lot. And people in Minneapolis probably know this, but we have this really significant American Indian Center, the Minneapolis American Indian Center, and it's going to go through a major reconstruction over the next 2 years, and now it's closed. So the programming has kind of been placed all throughout the community and other buildings, but that's going to have a huge impact, I think, over the next year or so on kind of what the vibe on the American Indian Cultural Corridor on Franklin Avenue is.
Yeah, I agree. I can't wait for the new place, but it's also going to be hard for me not to go to the sober powwow on New Year's Eve and the Thanksgiving powwow that would be coming up. Where is that going now? And I'm not sure. Do you know?
I have not heard. I have to check in. I have a couple things to talk to Mary Lagarde, who's the director of the Indian Center, about, but we don't. I mean, that was our big gym, right? Our big community event space, and so I'm not sure where those are going to happen. The things taking powwow and the Red Road powwow on New Year's, those are significant annual events.
Yeah, they are. I think, too, I just got to back up a second, too. And there was a group that left the Twin Cities that that's there, an AIM group that are doing the walk and the run for Leonard Peltier. And I don't know if you caught that, but we had Leonard Peltier on the show.
Oh, I didn't know. When was that?
Ogama, when was that? A couple of weeks?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, Robert was able to connect with and record an interview with Leonard Peltier, which as long as I'm talking about it, I want to let everybody know that Leonard Peltier has asked everyone to please send a letter addressed to the White House at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest in Washington, D.C., zip code 20500. Tell President Biden to release Leonard Peltier. To grant him clemency or to otherwise make sure that he is released from prison. So
yeah,
just wanted to let everybody know that that is something Leonard Peltier asked while he was here. He said more than letters to him, more than communication to himself, he would like people to communicate with those in power to ask on his behalf to be released.
Yeah, it was amazing, Robert. Did you ever see that interview of Chris Farley and Paul McCartney on Saturday Night Live? He's all like shy and like, you were in a band, right? You know, so that's kind of how I was with Leonard, because I was shocked that he called me, and he listens to the show, and he knows that we're a supporter, and we always say free Leonard Peltier at the end of the show. So it was really beautiful to hear from him. But he's getting up there in years, and we really would like him out.
Right, right. And thanks, Ogama, for sharing that guidance. I'll do that for sure. Send a letter, and I hope that everyone will. And it's time, right, to free him, let Leonard Peltier go home. So, yeah, and so the AIM guys up here are walking, marching, running to free Leonard Peltier. And yeah, they were doing a lot of staging and planning at our building and stuff. So our parking lot was always full of these cars that had AIM stickers or AIM magnets and all these people in AIM shirts and AIM jackets. It was very cool.
Cool. And I got to see them out there. They're already in D.C., and I think they're having their I think it's Saturday or Sunday that they're going to have their big rally in Washington, D.C. about free Leonard Peltier. Yeah, and they were the ICWA thing, and so it was really good to see them, and a lot of familiar faces.
Well, and for a little NACD tie-in here, NACD is the fiscal agent for local AIM, and so it's just a way that we can support them. It's not something we make money off of or anything, but just to support the effort. And, you know, it's like everyone does their part, right?
Yeah.
I'm not out walking or marching right now, but at least our organization is supporting them in this important way.
Right. And you know, what's fun about being on the show and doing the show is to stay engaged and help people be engaged in things like this, because there's so many important things that are going on, and like so much important work that you do, you know, that our other guests do, that it's just been an honor to really amplify this over the years. And, you know, Robert, I just got to say, Pini Gigi, thank you for coming on. I always enjoy our talk. And I'm just going to end the show right now. If you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. You know, we need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Free Leonard Peltier now.